Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone. It's match preview time. I'm Paul Machin. It's a Machin Pajak sandwich going on today.
Just like I like.
Yeah, Chris Pajak is the meat between a Paul Machin, John Machin, pieces of bread.
It feels old school, this. Yeah. I genuinely don't know the last time the three of us run a show together like this. It's wicked.
Yeah, if anyone who watches knows that, then you probably need to get a life. But it would be useful, nevertheless. I would find that interesting to know, but it wouldn't change what I've just said.
It'll be Jeff.
I think Jeff's got a life. Careful.
Hi, Jeff.
Only best. The Liverpool versus LASK. It is the penultimate game of the group, so you might say
second to LASK,
but by no means least of these fixtures.
You wouldn't say that.
No, second to LASK.
Dad. They gave us a decent game back in September. The managers talked about how they're not coming here to be tourists. They are. That's
sure.
That's what's going to happen in a general sense. But look, they've got stuff to play for in the group. Jürgen Klopp's called for it to hopefully be like a traditional European night. I think he might be a little disappointed, but
particularly with snowing.
Yeah, well, I hope he's right because I don't think it actually hurts us for it to be a competitive game of football from a fan's perspective, if nothing else.
Well, no, that's certainly true for the fans, but I mean the fact that we lost to Toulouse and didn't get the automatic top spot means that we do still have something to play for, and this is the best opportunity we'll have. So I'm hoping they do treat it really seriously and go out there, you know, to actually batter them.
Yeah.
To John's point there, I think there will be a few changes. I know we're going to come on to it and stuff like that, but I do think it's going to be almost entirely made up of first team squad players, and that means for me that the message from the manager to the players is go out there and get yourself a spot in the first team, you know, go out there and prove yourself and you know, don't let those levels drop, because I think if you're a manager in a top side like this, there must be nothing more frustrating than seeing a performance that's below par from lads who should be fired up and trying to get into the sides, and it's that messaging going into the game, isn't it? And I think that the Premier League right now has to be the clear priority for Liverpool Football Club, with where we are in the table and how everything's going and the other teams around us slipping up and stuff like that. But we shouldn't take our eye off the ball in the Europa League either, because it may be our second best chance of silverware after probably the League Cup. Mm-hmm. But you're not really asked about the League Cup. It's much more important to get a European silverware, isn't it?
Yeah, I totally agree. And look, you know, ultimately, what are they playing for here? Yeah, placing the knockout stuff. But you know, we had a brief chat about it before. You need the freedom to pick the teams that you want to pick. This is the busy period of the season now, and injuries are going to start to bite. We've seen that happen already. We'll talk about Alisson and Jota in a second. But so there's a balancing act of you want to make sure you've got the strongest team for the weekend to come, but actually you don't want to go into that like week, 2 weeks in and around Christmas with another game that's super competitive that you've really got to go flat out for.
Yeah, I mean, you can't afford, you know, this stage to prioritise too much. Yeah. You know, no one would want us to put a gang of kids out against LASK and not get top spot. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just so we can beat Fulham with a top of the range side. Yeah. I mean, So I wouldn't expect that at all. I do expect it'll be similar to the side which has been playing in the Europa League. You know, so Gravenberch, you know, Harvey Elliott, Endo. I expect to see them on the pitch, you know, even though they wouldn't necessarily be on the pitch for Fulham.
Yeah.
But I don't think of them as a step down. I think of them as guys fighting for their place, as Chris said. You know, particularly Harvey Elliott. I mean, he's had some terrific games as a substitute, but yeah. You know, he's got to try and say, I want that third spot in midfield.
Yeah.
The one that Gravenberch is going for as well. Yeah.
No, absolutely that. And that's often the difference. We forget this sometimes. And it speaks to the quality of the squad, Chris, that we've been in situations in cups before. I mean, look, we've rotated in the Champions League group stages before once we know we've been through. I mean, some of the players that played in the San Siro when we played AC Milan is absolutely wild. But we'd earn the right to do that. But this is not that situation where I think you were kind of saying at the top of the show, where sometimes we go, throw the kids in. It's like, don't just throw the kids in. Listen, if the kids deserve to be in there, by all means, play them because they're clearly talented enough. But this is not the time to piss around, because if you piss around here, you might find that you're going to have to go a lot harder than you ever dreamed of doing when you play the next game.
Absolutely.
In a couple of weeks.
And as you say, the games around that are important. Obviously, you've got Manchester United and Arsenal on the horizon after you've played the next Europa League game and stuff like that. So you want to be able to rest and rotate on your agenda, on your time scale, not on somebody else's, isn't it, I suppose? And, you know, it's one of the things that I think, you know, I look down the 62 at Manchester City, and, you know, we've just played them at the weekend, and they didn't make a single substitution in that game because they're feeling the pinch at the moment, squad-wise. Just
there's
not money-wise. But they are, and, you know, I think Guardiola does a good job in those competitions, if you can take the red tinted glasses off, of making wholesale changes and still getting wins, which allows him to play Premier League games where he doesn't make as many substitutes. Because
you don't think it was the club saying, you know, that Everton thing, we better make ourselves look a bit poorer.
Well, maybe throw an extra keeper on the bench, Pep.
Yeah. Newcastle with their 7 substitutes last night against PSG. Yeah.
This is all part and parcel. There's different ways of skinning the cat, isn't there? And Jürgen, I think, has gone into this season saying, I'm going to use 5 subs in pretty much every game that I can. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that he's doing it. And we might look at it and go,
you also look at last season, following on from trying to win 4 trophies, when they were all, they'd shot, you know, half the team had been totally destroyed. So, you know, rotating 5 every game makes actual sense.
Take advantage
if he
of the
wants
rules.
If he wants to compete in all 4 competitions.
Yeah, exactly. Take advantage. And, you know, it might sometimes I think, as a Liverpool fan myself, you look at it and go, why is he bringing Dom on here? Mm-hmm. But he's only bringing him on for 10-15 minutes. And if quite often they have that little sort of written rule, where it's like, if you play 21 minutes, you get a rest day.
Yeah.
And he knows that he does that and he gets the rest day.
Yeah.
And it's all part and parcel of it, isn't
it? And also, it comes back to a little bit of disrespect towards the Europa League, is that if we were playing Champions League games, these lads would be playing well more minutes than they've been playing this season. Like, Mo Salah plays 90 minutes more or less twice a week when we play Champions League football. So actually, if a lad comes on for 10-15 minutes here and there, who's asked? In fact, they want to come on because they want to get goals, and they actually want to make sure they're sharp. And to your point, we're not quite there. We're about to enter the period where there is no rest, and you go flat out for 3 or 4 weeks. It's like the mid. Well, it's from this week basically up until the FA Cup, when you really get to decide what team goes out in that game, where everyone's just gonna have to suck it up and crack on with it, really. You know, and the 5 sub thing, again, I think it's about buying. It's about telling the lads, well, we're carrying a big squad this season, this is why, because I think you're all good enough to play a part in the side. You touched on the fixtures thing, Chris. I want to get that up so we can have a little chat around it, because it is interesting, you know, what the knock-on impact of Liverpool not securing qualification in this game. The next game in the group play, the final match day 6, is Union Saint-Gilloise over in Brussels, of course. That is after Crystal Palace on Saturday the 9th, which is the early kickoff, which is kind of irrelevant. It's a nice break between them two. But you mention it, the weekend that follows it is Manchester United. We've then got the EFL Cup quarter final against West Ham in the week building up to before the week before Christmas. We've got Liverpool Arsenal on the 23rd, Burnley on Boxing Day, and then Newcastle on New Year's Day. That Union game is a nice little pit stop, because as I said, that you could end up in a situation where there's that, and then there's the FA Cup third round. Now that will totally be draw dependent, because if you get a Chelsea or a, you know, as we always get, or an Arsenal or whatever in the third round, that will dictate that slightly. But if you get a Championship team or whatever in there, then you actually have got total freedom to pick almost whatever 11s you want. But in the middle of it, everyone just goes for it.
Yeah, but you've also got to consider, I suppose, as well as all of that, that you might even have a semi-final for a Carling Cup in there as well.
To follow, that'll be just after
the FA Cup. You still need that, but then you've still got to think two more games that could be added into the calendar and stuff as well, which makes that FA Cup game even more important, which makes that USG game even more important, that you're able to get some rest for players and stuff like that. And, you know, I think it's one of those things. This is what we want as football fans, isn't it? This is what Jürgen wants as a football manager, and how you navigate through. I've been saying the next 11 games, going back before the City game up to Newcastle, will define the season. But that right there, what you've just shown everybody, from USG to Newcastle, is it. That's the most important part of this season, as I see it, for Liverpool. And this game is a precursor to being able to do what you want in those.
Absolutely. Let's do the injury news then. Jürgen Klopp did his press conference and revealed that, without being totally specific on it, and I think some of this is a little unknown still, but Alisson and Jota, we know, both injured in the Manchester City game. Alisson, he said, you know, he said for both of them, definitely no chance of seeing them this week. Alisson, probably next week as well, but that would be the point where he might well start to come back. Jota, there was no time frame given on it. He felt that would be longer. But also, he didn't say he's definitively out, but then we all know Liverpool are the biggest bullshitters going when it comes to laying out the truth about who's injured and who's not.
After Man City.
Yeah. It is after Man City. I know, and now they're talking about it. Okay, in the pecking order of who is bullshitters. Yeah, absolutely. And classic Ferguson, Man United.
Yeah, Ferguson.
And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's Manchester United, except everyone knew he was lying. You little meth. What are you doing, Solskjaer? Just fucking him. We know you're lying. Get off your Alex Ferguson.
He's got a job and he's still getting it here.
Alex Ferguson's big book of bullshit. He's getting a copy for it. Large font. Lots of drawings.
You can see him from the parking space next to Alex Ferguson's. Oh, God. What a loser.
Yeah,
just park in his space.
Yeah, loser.
I don't know. You don't work there.
Yeah, it's fine. No trouble. The
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Bless him. Yes, the goalie stuff, let's go with that first and foremost, Dad, because as much as it's a real blow losing Jota, we've bought loads of attackers, so you'd like to think that you can cope with losing one for a little spell if you have to.
Sure, yeah. I mean, Gakpo desperately, you know, needs to cement a place in the side, which he hasn't really done.
There'll be young lads looking for the place as well. But let's do the goalie, because you immediately said to me
the goalie.
Yes, you immediately said to me, "Ooh, Adrian," and my heart stopped. Well, this is the thing.
Not even in the squad.
And this sparked the conversation. My heart immediately stopped. And I said, why? And he said, well, because technically he's now Kelleher. But then, of course,
Kelleher's now the number one.
We realised that, yes, of course, Adrian is not registered for the squad because we couldn't register that many foreign players.
The two players whose names are impronounceable to me.
Vitislav Jaros. Marcelo Pitoluga.
That's brilliant.
Marcelo, good friend of the show, Marcelo Pitoluga.
I'll have to practice.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean,
they might be playing all the time now, won't they?
Well, this is... And that's the point. And I think it would have been an interesting conversation if Adrian was registered to follow on with that. But I don't know. For me, anyway, I don't know your thoughts, is that if Kelleher's going to play, just play him. Because actually, the more games he plays, the better he's going to be for the games
that sort of really matter.
That
makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. What are you talking about here? Not playing Kelleher?
Well, that was the point, was if Kelleher's Adrian, if Kelleher's Alisson, then does the backup goalie play the Europa League games?
No, don't be ridiculous. Yeah. Kelleher plays all of the games.
Yeah.
Adrian's not the number two.
Yeah.
And Kelleher, he's the number three. And he, therefore, but Kelleher gets given the Europa League because he's the number two. When he's the number one, he plays both of them.
Yeah.
He plays all of them.
I agree, yeah.
I genuinely don't think it's a conversation. Yeah.
Like Alisson doesn't.
Yes, like Alisson doesn't. Because you are trying to terrible way groom Kelleher to be a goalkeeper.
Yes, absolutely. I'm totally in on that. It never entered my head for a single second. And as I say,
I knew that Adrian wasn't allowed to play in this game.
Yeah, we
haven't got anyone who could play in this game if Kelleher doesn't.
But there is an outside chance that if Liverpool are qualified by the time the USG game rolls around, maybe you consider Pitoluga or whomever for that one, if it's a dead rubber. And it depends on the prognosis on Alisson, because if you need to give him another sort of week off and Keller has playing back to back, he should be fine. Goalkeepers are meant to play every game.
And also, don't forget that you can actually use Adrian in the Premier League if there's a problem with Kelleher. So again, I don't think I think you still play Kelleher.
But it's not about there being a problem with Kelleher. I mean, more
there's a problem with Adrian. That's the problem.
Yes.
I've got a problem with this conversation. I'm completely
the problem
lost.
Is, no, look, and there's a very roundabout way, but everyone said is nobody wants to see Adrian playing goal for Liverpool.
Yeah, that's why Hagen didn't put him in the squad.
What we're ultimately saying.
Now, the question was,
another player rather than
if Kelleher's now the number one, does he get rested in the games that the number one normally gets rested
that's
in?
No. Yeah.
And you're saying no, and that's fine. Now we know that there isn't really a backup anyway.
And that's the point on that, is I don't think Jaros or Pitoluga are ready for that step up yet.
Correct.
So, and it would depend. So again, if Alisson was out for 2 months, I do wonder, and we got like a Championship or a League One side in the FA Cup third round, for example, that's a conversation where you might consider one of the younger goalies just to give him a look in. Because ultimately, Pitoluga's pretty much the same age as Kelleher was
one
when he was playing
in
those League Cup games.
Pre-season, didn't they?
They've all had little looks in. Like, you know, I think Jaros actually is probably ahead of him in the pecking order. But probably not a talking point, really.
Yeah, I was going to say we spent a lot talking about a non-talking point.
Yeah,
but for what it's worth, I would play Keller in every game, regardless of whether it's the FA Cup in January and Alisson's still out.
Yeah.
For me, it's finding out what Keller is.
Yeah.
You know, it could be, you never know, that Liverpool are trying to get the value up there or something as well, because obviously he probably wants to move on if he can't displace Alisson Becker. But I think he now is at the point of his career where he does actually genuinely need games. And I think that's why the last couple of years we've seen him get cup runs and stuff like that. But we'll know whether he's worth keeping around and bending over backwards and changing our rules for number two goalkeepers for if he gets a sustained run of games and puts it in. Because if he's brilliant, then you just bend over backwards to keep him as your number two.
These are decisive moments in careers. They really are. Is that we're all sat here today, and we did a little bit of this on the podcast this week, but I think it's an interesting point that I don't think, look, Alisson's the best goalie in the world, and unfortunately, therefore, every other goalkeeper, and least of all the guy you own beneath him, is not as good as Alisson Becker. At some point, though, young players get an opportunity, and I would almost rather be in a world where your young goalkeeper gets his chance and becomes brilliant, rather than Alisson reaches a point in his career where he goes, I've had enough, I'm going to get off, and you go, ah, well, now it's time to find out whether our backup goalie's worth his salt. I'm not suggesting for a second that this is the start of Kelleher's run as Liverpool's first choice goalie for the rest of, you know, for the rest of his career or whatever, but I really want to know more. I thought he was brilliant when he was given the chances in the cup double season, and I have been underwhelmed with him since. But the only way for a goalkeeper to ever truly show what they're capable of is to play a run of football matches. And, you know, and that was the... We found that out a lot over the years. You just need to trust them at some point.
Well, I mean, he must have wanted to move on, I would have thought. And the club have persuaded him that he was going to get enough games, you know, to stick around. So, you know, the fact that he's now going to get a lot of games, Kelleher must be in heaven. He must think this is brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, I'm now going to show everyone what I've got, you know, and good luck to him. I mean, I've always been quite confident about him. He's not... I always judge goalies, I've said this before, about whether they scare me when they come on the pitch.
Yeah.
And he doesn't scare me at all. I forget about him in games for, you know, let him get on with it.
I've been stood next to you at those games, a lot of them that we've seen over the last few years with the Auto Cup scheme and stuff. And sat very much sat quietly next to John during the Auto Cup scheme and stuff like that. And you've said that to me in the past, and I've got to say I feel exactly the same way. I am with Paul on the, like, you said it the other day, I think, on the podcast, he just needs to save more.
Yeah. And look, these are sharpness things, you know, because actually it's funny because he's such a cool customer. He's actually really good with his feet, and that's so natural that he just walks in and does that. He's so good at that. But actually, the finer points of being a goalkeeper only really come when you play, when you challenge yourself and you push. And you don't even play under 21 games.
You don't get what Alisson's got. You know, that ability to just stand in front of someone and make them miss. You just don't get that until you've got the experience.
No, exactly. You earn that with the striker going up against you, don't you, in their head.
It happened for Alisson at some point. You know, we buy him after he's only done a season, really, at Roma when he's at the main goalie. He's behind Chesney before that. And at some point, somebody proves themselves ready to take over. We're in a really awkward situation. We've had this for a number of positions in this side over the last 5 years. When you've got best in class, it's very difficult to attract someone who's either going to sit underneath or thinks they're going to get
right
above and beyond.
Position.
Right back, we've absolutely. Had it right wing, we've had it centre half, we've had it in all, you know, we had a DM for a while, or about the entire front three was very much like that as well. Trying to find a fourth for a front three that was called the front three proved quite difficult. So, yeah, you know, it's a big chance for him. I hope he takes it. I hope we give him the opportunity, ultimately, because we haven't really got a choice. So, yeah, there's a big moment coming ahead where it could be a concern if he doesn't kind of flourish in it. But from what we've seen so far, I hope we get more of that, basically. Just briefly on the Jota stuff, Chris, it is a blow. I didn't want to skate over it too much, but he... I hope it's not an extended one, because look, he's our third top goal scorer at the moment.
Yes.
We are lucky that Luis Diaz, this is the point now where he's probably set to kick on. You know, he's kind of put his thing behind him. I think his family have now moved to Liverpool as well. So, or they've certainly all been over here. So that will have eased.
Liverpool are paying for him to be over here at least from last night, a couple of days ago, at least until post Christmas and stuff. But you're absolutely right. Now, the Diaz thing, it's dovetailing, unfortunately, quite nicely with the Jota thing at the moment, because I think when you think back to the start of the season, Diaz got a couple of goals. He'd started the season really well. He looked like he was trying to get more goal contributions, be that goals, be that assists. Picks up that injury, has to deal with that for a little bit. Then obviously has the mad stuff happen in his personal life, and he isn't able to get back on, I think at the weekend, probably start the game because of the international travel and all that type of stuff. And I feel like what you just said, that he's primed to come in, and this might be that opportunity where he comes in, whether it's this game, whether it's the weekend game, and takes that slot and puts a marker down and goes, no, it's my spot. And when Jota's injured, he won't be getting back in because it's my spot.
You know, it's an interesting situation because we've got a lot of lads who can actually play on that side. Dad, you know, Cody Gakpo's had a little look in.
Nunez, they all started out on the left.
And that's the thing where, because I was going to kind of say, it'd be interesting to see whether we actually get a little look at Doak at some point on that left, because he's been almost entirely used on the right-hand side for us, which is very on what we do. He's obviously very right-footed. Someone like him, you know, again, we won't know just yet, but I'm not against it. I'm not saying Doak starts this one, by the way. I think he will go Diaz, Gakpo. Either Doak or quite probably Salah, just to maybe get the business done. But we have, it kind of also goes to show we do have a few permutations available to us.
Yeah, and it comes from having five forwards. I mean, you were saying before about when we had three, it was difficult to get a fourth. Suddenly we've got five, but now you realise you need five.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're talking, the Echo saying Alisson's out for five games and Jota longer. You know, that's a long time to be without a top goal scorer.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got backup and cover, so... hopefully we'll survive it.
And again, look, chance for them to shine. None of them will want anyone else to be out injured or whatever, but this is the entire point. Someone's form drops off, someone else has got to pick up the baton. And in both of those, like, Gakpo, I've been really disappointed with Gakpo so far. And he's been in and out, hasn't he?
And he's been in different positions, and he's the one who hasn't cemented a position, really.
I think he's probably the nail.
Nunes now plays nine, doesn't he, every time?
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and Diaz plays left. Gakpo still not really sure he can play. He plays in midfield, he plays as a 10, he plays out on the wing.
I think his best position's nine, particularly from what we saw last season. But the problem is that it's the Nunes conundrum, isn't it, Chris? Is that Nunes is starting to look like, why wouldn't you just start Darwin Nunes in the games that you want to be choosing your best sort of 11s? So I don't really know what's next for him. You have this happened with Arsenal when they had Lacazette and Aubameyang, different centre forwards with both lads who wants to play number nine, and you're forever putting someone who's not quite the right fit if you want to play them both in the team. I mean, look, Gakpo's ticking along quite nicely, and look, that's a problem that can get resolved in the future. Right now, I think he's going to get this game, and he could probably do with continuing that form.
His problem is that although he played left side before he came to Liverpool, Liverpool converted him into a false nine, and now we're playing him in midfield.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy must be thinking, what the hell's going on? How can I settle and get a place? Yeah. It's really difficult for him.
And but he showed at the weekend he can impact games, and you know, it was only for the run, which, you know, was probably the most Bobby Firmino off the ball run you could see to take himself out the game, take a defender out the game and open up that space for Trent to run into and score from. So he's a clever footballer. I have been disappointed with him as well. I expected him to kick on quite significantly this season, but I think John's right. I think it's because of moving around in and out of the team, all that type stuff. And you know, when we've gone to this box midfield and we're playing four men in the middle, your centre forward isn't needed to drop in. Yeah. It's just not what you want. You want him to be the tip of the spear, and if Gakpo's going to get into the side, he's going to have to change his game to be able to play the nine like Liverpool want him to play at the moment. He's clever enough to do it. His understanding of where to be in the penalty area is as good as Jota's, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. He gets those 5-yard tap-ins because he understands where the space is, he understands where his position needs to be. He just needs to impact the game more, and again, that's rhythm, that's just, you know, finding your feet a little bit.
We know he can do it because he was doing it when he first came.
Exactly, and let's not forget here, you know, we've talked a lot about the new midfield. Well, the new midfield affects the forwards. You know, the players who were there, who were maybe playing passes that you kind of gotten used to last season, they're all different this year. It's Tom Soboslai, it's Gravenberg, it's Kurt Jones at times, it's Alexis McAllister, Trent. Exactly, it's all different behind him. So there is a period of adaptation that's needed for every player in the side, and he's had less minutes this season with these players in the centre forward position than anybody.
I look at his second goal against United last season. That's just brilliant number nine play. And, you know, getting him behind, great finish from a difficult angle. He's definitely got that in him. But again, it's those people whose natural instincts are going that way. We always said, well, Bobby Firmino, 17-18, gets 20 goals all comps because he actually, there's just opportunities. He goes, oh, forget it, I'm just going to score a goal here.
Post Jota. He gets more goals post Jota because he goes, all right, you can do it this way as well.
Absolutely. So yeah, hopefully we see a bit more of the deadly Cody Gakpo. I just want to refer you back to two starting 11, which I think are most pertinent in terms of figuring out what the manager's going to do for this one. Liverpool's 2-1 win over Bournemouth in the League Cup. We started with Keller in goal. It was Simikas, Quanta, Matip Gomez across the back four. It was Kurt Jones, Wataru Endo, Harvey Elliott in midfield, and then it was Soboslai, Gakpo, Salah.
Yeah, that was mad.
Yeah, and then
that was a mad forward line for them, wasn't it?
The Toulouse game was, you know, basically not far off that. It was Simikas, Quanta, Matip Gomez again back four with Kelleher behind them, McAllister, Endo, Elliott in midfield, Diaz, Gakpo, Doke. Now, we struggled through Bournemouth, albeit in the wildest of conditions that I think anyone's seen this season so far. We got beat by Toulouse. Dad, was there something from that Toulouse game that you think could have been avoided with team selection, or was that, you know, psychological, the Toulouse having the home advantage blah, blah, blah. Is there anything about what I'm saying is that could be learned from that, that they need to learn to inform this game?
I don't know. I mean, I think Toulouse actually wanted it more. I think that's what I got from it, that our players weren't that motivated. You know, it was like the game, the competition was already, well, this part of the competition was already done and dusted. You know, they'd had three wins and they just lack motivation is what I took from it.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that won't be the case tomorrow because I think Klopp will have got in their ear about the need to finish this off and, you know, get in the top spot and have done with it.
Yeah.
You know.
There's a couple of questions that I think around the starting 11 here and they're posed by the comments here. So Luke says, do you guys think Virgil starts? My immediate reaction to this is just no, and particularly because you see those two 11s, obviously Quanta starts left side of centre half in both of those. But actually, I think this is a knock-on impact of who plays left back.
Yeah, because I think you're right there, and it's Joe Gomez is playing one of the full-back positions for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And my gut tells me...
Didn't he come on? Was it Toulouse he came on as left-back?
He starts maybe. Right back at Toulouse.
He starts left-back at Luton, I think it's that game, maybe.
Yeah, he came on at left-back.
And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't an outstanding performance from him at left-back, if I remember correctly, against Luton. But my initial reaction was Gomez starts right-back, and then I was like, worked my way down the line, and was like... Oh, Costas, he's played a lot of football.
Yeah.
And Andy Robertson's not fit. So does that mean that Gomez becomes the left-back and stuff? And does it give you an opportunity to maybe play a Kwanzaa or something else in there with a Joe Gomez? I don't know. I think it's actually a little bit more of a quandary than you'd maybe think on the surface. My gut now tells me that Gomez is your left back, but who's the right back?
Well, exactly. That's what I mean. It's like, if Virgil starts, then it probably means Tsimikas isn't. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that, because you could just ask them to play two games, but it could be, it's one of those where I think you're either starting Trent or Van Dijk for similar but different reasons. Is that because if you're not starting Tsimikas, you're either starting a kid at left back? You might be, you know, we've seen a couple of the younger lads have a little look in so far on that one. Conor Bradley's back in training, but he's very unlikely that he'll be close enough to be involved in this. Could be like an outside little, you know, shove him on the bench and give him a lift or whatever. But yeah, you know, if you're playing Gomez anywhere other than right back, it means Trent's probably starting in that position, because the only one else we've seen do that is Bicetic, and he's still out injured.
Yeah, particularly if Van Dijk isn't playing, then, you know, you've got your captain on the pitch then, in Trent.
Yeah, well, actually,
I think Chris is right. Gomez is going to play, isn't he?
Yeah,
because he needs the game.
So Quanta, Canate,
and I'd quite like to see Quanta get Gomez on the run. I think he'd be good.
Gomez left back, do we think? Sorry,
I think probably, yeah, because Tsimikas really shouldn't be playing every single game, because with all the games coming up,
if he goes down,
and he's the only left back, really. So,
yeah, outside shouts, there are a couple that sort of come to mind. We've seen Bajetic play there at right back, you mentioned. Could Endo do it if you play in a box midfield with him? We know, I think that's probably something that he could do. The other outside shout is you go to somebody like a Canate to play right back. He spends half the game there anyway. Mm. You know, you could play Canate, Matip and Kwanzaa, and you could play Joe Gomez as well. It's wild.
Matip is the wild part of that.
Yeah.
Because he's another one.
But, like, you've got three of them. If they all go down, you're fucked.
Yeah, but, so like, play them all.
No, so, like, what are the chances? You know what I mean? Oh, no. If one of them goes down, you're still sound. You've got Kwanzaa, you've got Matip, you've got Canate. Like, what? It's a wild, don't get me wrong. It's the four centre-halves.
Those three in Kwanzaa, Canate and Gomez definitely start for me, I think. It's just where. And it's whether Gomez is starting right-back or left-back. I would suggest is that that's probably the answer in that one. Not that we've necessarily answered the question there from, I think, was it Luke? The other one is not so much a question or a statement, but a discussion point from Stephen Davey. He says, hi, fellas, hate to say it, but Salah needs a rest.
He needs a big rest.
Yeah.
He's been crap.
Yeah.
He's been crap. He got the Premier League Player of the Month last month, and I've never been so shocked in all my life.
Because he gets a goal or an assist every game he plays.
I know, and he's brilliant at that, but his actual in-game
play...
He's
brilliant at the things that are the most obvious, important metric of football.
I think everybody would agree he's not been up to scratch.
Yeah.
He's still getting his goals. He's still getting assists. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's not. Okay. He has. He's been, in that regard, absolutely superb. But he looks fucked. He doesn't look right. He can't take on a man. He looks tired. He looks like he needs rest. It's just that.
Yeah.
I'd still play him every game.
Yeah.
He's still one of our best players. He's still more impactful than anybody else that we've got. But he doesn't look right.
I mean, I think having Doak in there tomorrow was not going to harm anyone, is it, to be honest? But Salah would still probably come in off the bench, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. My thing on Doak is I think we're starting to see in practice what it's like when you put a 16-year-old in your team, is that he's obviously got the pace and he's really aggressive and he really wants it. But so far,
he's got 10 minutes in him every game.
But he's not there, is he? You know, he's not. He's just not ready for that. I don't think he's ready for that level just yet. Now, you can get ready for that level by playing at that level, and you can improve. But there's a balancing act there. One of the random ones on this was we saw Kay Gordon on the bench against Toulouse. Now, whether that was you've got basically 12 substitutes and do you just do that again to help with his mentality and the rehabilitation, remind him he's part of the first team setup. But I was a shock to me. I looked at the bench, I was just in the ground, and I looked down, I was like, why do I know him?
I know you.
Look, it's Kay Gordon.
You know Harvey Elliott as well, Chris. Yeah. Chris had him at right side last time, didn't you? And I think that's a possibility.
Tyler Jones here in the comments says Curtis Jones has played right back as well.
Yeah.
So there's another one. He's, because again, it goes back to a Curtis Jones needs minutes because he's not played a lot. He comes off 50 something minutes, isn't it? Is it 50 minutes? He's one of the first ones who comes off against City.
He is.
So like that's 50 odd minutes of football in a few weeks that he's played. But then again, I'd be saying Gravenberch needs to start this one as well.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, right? I sort of, after the weekend's game, I'm sort of thinking I'd rather Jones start and Gravenberch not, and I'd rather Gravenberch get into the Premier League side personally.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, the good thing about all of this is like these are just not bad decisions to have to make, really, are they? So, right, so who's nailed on? So Kelleher's nailed on.
Yeah.
Konate nailed on.
Yeah. Is he fit?
Well, let's hope so.
Gomez is nailed on.
We don't know where.
Yeah.
But he's nailed on somewhere.
He's loosely nailed on.
He's penciled in two positions.
Yeah. He's magnetised to a board. Endo, nailed on?
Nailed on.
Yeah.
Harvey Elliott?
Nailed on.
Cody Gakpo?
Nailed on.
Yeah.
That's six.
Diaz has kind of got to be.
Diaz has kind of got to be. That doesn't sound like nailed on.
That's what penciled in.
So we've got six nailed on starters there. So we've got the other five to pick from there. Yeah, math.
With your fingers up, you struggled.
I know. I was like, have I counted the goalie or not?
I think Kwanzaa's playing.
Kwanzaa
nailed on.
Seven.
What's that make it?
Seven.
And what are we looking for?
Four.
Well done.
We need another fullback.
Yeah.
We need two more midfield players.
Who's going to start?
No, Harvey Elliott in midfield.
Well, to be fair, that sounded like Klopp shopping. One more midfield.
One more
fullback.
Yeah.
Two more midfielders.
One more midfield. We've got to pick one more midfielder and the right forward. I think is the biggest one. So Jones or Gravenberch?
I think it will be Gravenberch.
Gravenberch.
Okay. Salah or Doak or another?
I think Doak to start and Mo coming on.
I wouldn't shock me if Elliott started there, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, that's another shout.
And then what? Gravenberch and Jones maybe in the midfield, if that's the case?
Yeah.
He tried McAllister finally in an 8 against Toulouse, and if he was looking to make a case for staying in that role permanently, he did not make it in that match. This is another old
time at right back as punishment.
Oh, God, Jesus Christ. Okay, I feel like we're getting close, but does anyone want to go balls out here?
Okay. Kelleher.
Yeah.
Trent. Konate. Kwanzaa. Gomez. Endo. Jones. Gravenberch. Elliott on the right. Diaz on the left. Gakpo up top.
Like it. You having that, Dad?
Yeah, we'll have a bit of that.
I like that. I think you might have nailed that there, Chris Pajach. We shall see.
There's no chance.
Yeah, no, you'll be fine. We'll reveal that team when the team is revealed by Liverpool's official Twitter account on the Umpoo, which is an hour or so before kickoff on Thursday. Steve and Errol in the studio for that one, so make sure you come and check out the watch along. Yeah, we've got loads of boss things happening, of course, across Red Men. In the meantime, do head over to Red Men Plus and sign up if you need more Liverpool podcasts.
Make the legend competition.
Let me just tell you about the legend competition. So every day leading up to and including Christmas Day, we're going to be giving away a Liverpool goodie, ranging from things like beer mats and posters and prints and books and jumpers and sweatshirts, of course. But we've also got loads of signed gear as well. So we've got a captain's armband signed by Lucas Leiva. We've got a goalie glove signed by Chris Kirkland. We've got two amazing signed shirts. We've got a 2007 Liverpool home shirt signed by Dirk Kuyt. And we've got last season's home shirt signed by Ibu Konate. If you want to be in those daily prize draws, head to redmenplus.com, join as a legend tier subscriber. And not only do you get all the amazing content that we do, including coming on Christmas, that's a different show altogether. Including coming on Christmas. It's our pour-up special. We've got the 50 greatest Liverpool signings of all time. A two-part special coming out over Christmas as well. Yeah, head to redmenplus.com, join as a legend, and have a legendary Christmas. I forget about these things when I do. It's been a long while since I've done a show with you, Dad. Hi, that wasn't awkward at all. Thanks so much, everyone, for watching. Hope you have a wonderful day, and hopefully Liverpool can bag 3 points and a place in the knockout round of the Europa League. Ta-da.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.